I need to pass on
Blog
gas.
Talk Radio.
That's right. Let's go crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am, let's go crazy, the guy. I'm the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building. And, of course, we all wear purple.
Yeah.
Who else is with us today?
Hello, fellas. How are you?
How are you guys doing this week?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got distracted. I have to step away from my desk.
I
because I'm looking for something. No. But, you know, I have nothing but baby stuff all over the place, so I can't find my notes. I can't find my headphones. I cannot find my mic. You know. All right,
new.
Cool. I know.
I'm starting to hear an echo. I just realized that.
Yeah, you are an echo. Okay,
no,
I'm back, guys.
The same thing.
Can you hear me now?
No, I can hear you, but
hello?
Like there's a delay. Like after I speak, I can hear the backlash of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm clear now, right? Sean, you're
yeah.
clear?
Yeah.
You're clear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're good.
All right. So last Thursday, Sean Black and I was talking on the phone about future topics, and I always talk to Sean like, I don't want to talk about future topics. But something always happened that changed our topics around.
Exactly.
Changed the whole format. And we was talking about it, and boom, Sean Black, I have to call you back. What happened? Last Thursday, as the whole world know, Prince passed away. And I'm like, Sean, I'm like, really? That's huge right now. He's like,
yeah.
I'm like, every time we have something planned, something else happened that take that go on top of it.
You know how many topics we've changed over the year because of something crazy has happened as we were talking about it, or we were talking about, well, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And then, okay, we'll get back to that other thing another time. This happened. And it literally happened as we got off the phone, which is the craziest part.
Because
we
put everybody on their toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking on the phone, and he was like, well, I got to go. And he said, wait a minute. Well, something happened at Prince's estate. Maybe he might have died. I don't know. And those were your exact words. It's like, okay, literally as I got off the phone, I went on the computer, I saw all of the stuff, then I went to CNN, they talked about it, and then 10 minutes after that, we got the news through TMZ, which I have no idea where they get their sources from. But they seem to do a better job with the news than the actual journalists that are out there. So, yeah.
Well, TMZ, they have their own employees. And at the same time, anybody can work for TMZ. You could be outside. Will you grab a picture with your smartphone or camera? You send it to TMZ. They send you a check right away. So, TMZ must have like a million employees, a million people working for them. Well, yes, it was reported from TMZ that Prince had died in an elevator. Now, but we all know people come and go, people die. Well, was this very shocking to you, Sean Black, and it should be of Prince's death, or of how he died, or what could have happened?
Well, I was shocked because even though we know of Prince's past, as far as he's used drugs before in the past and he's had... He lived the rock star lifestyle. No one expected him to go as soon as he did. And
he was young.
Very young. He was in the same age range as Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson passed away almost 6 years ago. So it's kind of like, wow, no one expected Michael Jackson to go as quickly as he did. But because of extenuating circumstances, because of his drug use and some of the other things that he went through, he passed away prematurely. With Prince, no one saw this coming, although we know that his health had been an issue because he had a hip replacement surgery some years ago. And just the week before, he was coming from a concert. He was doing a concert, and his plane landed, and he got sick to the point where they had to make an emergency plane landing and get him to the hospital. And the outside reports are saying it was just a bad case of the flu. We don't know if that...
That is completely false. I'm like, that's what they said. But we all know the truth. Prince is a very private person. That's what I love so much about him. Yes, like everybody else, I met him years ago. And when I saw him, I don't get starstruck, really, because, you know, I've been there, done that. But when you see an icon or someone who has done so much in this business, like Prince, you're like, OMG. So when if you have a flu, you don't stop a plane ride to land in the airport to go to a hospital if you have a flu. So you just, like, fight it out and just head home right away so you could get some rest at least, or since you're rich, have a doctor come to your place.
Mm-hmm.
Not if it's
how do you make
your
it
lungs. You can't breathe.
Your lungs,
you
like,
pass out.
If he passed out, okay, you land the plane. Like we might ever know the details and complete, but I don't buy the flu system story. And then 2 days, no, then 2 days later, you're outside having a party to show everybody that you're still alive and 3 days later, you're dead.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it is at the concert that he did, the little party that he did days before, he was quoted as saying, save your prayers for, I believe it was save your prayers for another date or another time or later or something like that, where it sounded very cryptic, but it almost sounded like he was trying to let people know that he knew something about his health that he wouldn't let on. Now, like you just said before, he's a very, very private person, and I've got no problems with that at all. Because as a celebrity or just as a regular person in general, most people think that because you're a celebrity, everything in your life is fair game, which is not the case, especially if there are children involved or their personal relationship, that kind of thing. But we know in general that Prince was very, very guarded about himself. He came across as, even though he was a rock star and he did so many things movie-wise and was a songwriter and did concerts, he came across as a very bashful person on some level. So
true, but he does so much for other people. And he has helped other artists, has helped other celebrities rank up in life. He's done so many good deeds compared to other artists today, especially today.
Yes.
But to Anitra, do you think this was a drug overdose?
No.
Or something that got to him from years of abuse, I guess. I don't know. I never heard Prince using drugs.
I won't be surprised if
he did do drugs.
But see, that's the thing is we don't know. He could, like Sean said, he's very private. He probably just wanted to die with some dignity. And just in the privacy of his own space. It's possible.
But what the key question of his drugs, what type of drugs? Prescription drugs? Or cocaine,
or
crack, whatever?
And that's
maybe
what the autopsy, I think that's what the autopsy is going to find. And
exactly.
What a lot of people know that performers, especially artists that are rock stars, you know, guys like Rick James or James Brown, people of that ilk were known to party hard. And we know from the 70s and the 80s and even the 60s before then, there were a lot of rock stars, a lot of entertainers, concert people, a lot of comedians that when they perform on stage, they would do everything that they could to entertain their fans. And then in their private moments, they would party hard and do, like, supernatural amounts of narcotics because it was part of the lifestyle. So
that doesn't mean he did that.
No, I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened to him because we really don't know what happened.
Exactly.
And it's all speculation until we find out what the autopsy does. Now, we know that he was cremated, so whatever they find in the toxicology reports and all of the other things that they've done with the body before it was cremated, I guess we'll find out from there. So who knows? Maybe the cremation was there to make sure nobody knew what was going to happen.
But no, because he was so
He was?
Yeah. He's the vow Jehovah Witness.
Yes.
So there's only so much they can do to his body that he would have allowed. So we never really find out what happened.
And that's the issue.
And should we know
what happened? At the end of the day, it's really nobody's business, if you think about it. I mean, I was a fan, and I thought he was an amazingly talented individual. But do I really, it's none of my business. I mean, you know, rest in peace. You know, I'm sure you lived a fabulous life. But other than that, it's really no one's business.
Mm-hmm.
But as a fan, you want to know what happened. Because you love his music, you love his work. So
surprisingly so. For some reason, I don't. Like, I'm not concerned with it, which is weird, because I love celebrity gossip. I'm one that's all up on that. But for some strange reason, I'm not really concerned with... I was more concerned about, like, his family and, like, what they were going to do with that compound he lives on. Apparently, it might turn into, like, another sort of, like, Graceland type of deal.
Kind of like a museum or something along those
lines.
Which
would be really cool.
Yeah.
So, like, that stuff, I was wondering what they were going to do with that, with all that. But as to what happened with him, I mean, he obviously wanted to keep it private.
And exactly.
He went to great lengths to do that.
And even more so, this is to kind of let you in on some of the things that happened with him. His brother-in-law, whose name is Maurice Phillips, actually went and stated, I believe it was yesterday, that Prince worked 154 straight hours without sleep in the days leading up to his death. 154 hours straight, which shows you, one, he was a perfectionist. Two, just like Michael Jackson, if we've all seen clips of the documentary that was done prior to his death where you saw him up to those days, even though we've heard that he was on a lot of the propofol and the sedatives that he usually took, but he was still up, wired, and doing so many different things, dancing, choreography, and getting his performance right. He was still working very hard, even though his body had taken a toll, taken a beating. So we've seen now with Prince, listening to what his brother-in-law stated, and I'm sure that there are a lot of things that we will never know about because it was going to be kept private. I see a lot of these little stories will probably come out here and there over time. You know, National Enquirer or somebody will leak something. But I think what the problem is that how he died is becoming more of the legend that's overshadowing his music and what he's done, because a lot more people are asking about how he died as opposed to, even though we've seen tons of celebratory gestures from entertainers, normal people on social media celebrating his life. And that should be done, celebrating his life as opposed to wondering how he died.
Do you think, due to the rumors, because due to the story, do you think Prince was murdered?
Murdered?
No.
I sincerely doubt that. I don't think, like I said before, and we've all said we don't know.
Hold on. Remember, they talk about Warner Brothers. His fight with Warner Brothers for all these years, for like 18 years, he finally got the catalog back. And you know, you work more dead than alive. That's how you make money.
Yeah.
In America. So, and you know how they talk about reports of how Michael Jackson was murdered, so they go gave away to the Beatles music and all that stuff. And now Michael Jackson making more money dead than alive.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I have heard I've heard that story slant up probably within the last day or so, because Prince has a studio on his property, a huge studio, and he has, from what was reported, he has literally hundreds and hundreds of unreleased tracks that he decided either for whatever reason didn't fit in the portfolio of some of the albums he wanted to release, and he wanted to hold on to it. Like we've heard Tupac, prior to his death, he had a lot of unreleased tracks that he didn't bring out or didn't release over time. So, yeah, you're right about that from that sense, that there could be conspiracy theories going along. The fact that he owned and he got the trademarks and the copyrights for all of his music, which is the reason why you could never find any of his music on, let's say, YouTube or Dailymotion or any of those other sites that share videos and media, because he owns every single track that he's ever done. So
he was a musical genius.
Very.
Okay. I forgot my other question.
Wow. We've stumped the hot rod.
Yes. Well, Anisha B, do you think you will find artists like, again, like Prince, that taught himself 27 instruments, music nonstop, entertainment today?
I don't know about today, but we will see. I mean, we're always going to. I mean, people said that we wouldn't find another John Lennon, another Presley, and we did. So, eventually someone will come. Probably won't have the magnitude of power that he had, stage presence, but someone will come along eventually.
And that's the crazy thing. You would never think. We knew Prince has always been big, but it wasn't until he passed that you realize just how widespread the fans that love him and appreciate him, not just fans, artists, other people in the music industry, stretched worldwide, newspapers, websites, social media. It spans all over the world, that how he touched them over the last 30 or so years.
But it's amazing how they only show it when they're gone.
Exactly. And that's where I was going. And that's the sad part, is that although he was appreciated, he was loved, and I think anybody that knew who Prince was or is a fan of Prince was like, this guy, so many different songs, so many different movies that he did, all of the things that he did in his lifetime, and he wasn't really talked about as much when he was alive that you heard about since Thursday, since he's passed. And I think that's the message kind of involved in that, is to appreciate what's here while it's here, because you never really know how long. Like you stated, Anitra, with John Lennon, and when he passed, the entire world went in the morning. With Elvis Presley passed, the world went in the morning. Michael Jackson passed, the world went in the morning. Prince has passed away, and it's the same thing. And it's like you have to appreciate it while it's here, because you just don't know how long a talent like that will be around. And is that transitional to go worldwide all over the place?
So you guys appreciate me right now, right? Not going to wait till I die until you appreciate me, right, guys?
We always
so
appreciate
that. So predictable that you would do that.
Well, remember, it's not about you guys. It's all about me, the hot rod. Duh.
Of course.
And talk about continuing with music. Another big hot topic that came up this weekend that changed my topics. And I'm here to piss some people off, especially towards the Beehives.
Uh-oh.
I'm talking to all the Beyonce fans out there. Unfortunately, due to Baby Mama drama, this past Saturday on HBO, I was forced to watch Lemonade, or whatever this thing is called.
Yes,
Lemonade. I don't know anything about it.
Did you really watch that?
Give or take, it was divided from my face. I was not paying attention to it. I'm like, okay, what the hell is this? I did not understand. What the hell is this? I didn't realize it was music videos from her latest album. But if I talk about Lemonade, if I talk about the cheating affair that Beyonce and Jay-Z had, basically Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce with Rachel Roy. Anitra, why do we care about this?
I don't. I didn't even know her video premiered on Saturday. That was news to me when all this came out on the media today.
The only reason
I had no clue.
Yeah. The only reason how I found out is that I was watching HBO trying to watch the fight. And I was like, okay, this fight that was on, the fight ended quick. So I'm like, okay. And then I see Beyonce, Lemonade. I was like, oh, Lemonade, what the heck? And I'm kind of figuring, after I read the description of it on the TV guide, I'm like, well, maybe it's some sort of, you know, like a regular documentary about a career or something. I didn't know what it was. And then I looked at it for 5 minutes. And I'm like, wait a minute. She just basically released like an album on HBO. And one, I have to say this. Beyonce and her people and her husband and everybody involved are absolute geniuses. Because they broke the internet. Two, as I stated before, I had no idea on earth that she was even releasing anything. This is the second time she did a stealth release of an album, and it's caused this kind of fervor. So the fact that she went and did that with no one knowing what the heck did, one, no one really knowing what it was about, and number two, nobody even knowing that she was going to do it, and then to find out all of everything that went on, it was kind of like an evolution of her, the last 10 years of her life and career and some of the things that she talked about. Absolute genius, because
do you really buy this whole Jay-Z cheat? I don't buy it.
It doesn't sound right.
I buy he played her, but the play the victim part. I was powerless. I'm powerful now. I don't buy it. It's a publicity stunt.
Well,
this is what I told people. I believe Jay-Z did cheat, but you know what? It's not the first, not the last. People cheat.
Yeah.
Most people cheat. Number one, I don't care about Jay-Z or Beyonce. I'd be happy to tell people that. I'm not a hater. I just don't give a damn. I think Beyonce is overrated. That's my professional opinion. But besides that, she dropped an album about cheating and affair. So all the beehives, all the ladies going crazy about this affair. Yes, it's something personal that she let out. But like Sean said, it's a marketing genius. You think if I'm married with Anitra, I cheat on Anitra, and we made a video together, I won't be upset? It's all part of the plan. And people buy into this nonsense. And all the beehives are going crazy.
I think it's ugly. And what the hell is a beehive? Where did that come from? When I heard that for the first time, I was a little confused.
Well, it's just like the Beliebers and, you know.
Oh, that's what it is.
And a Gaga's. That's her fan base.
Yes, her fan base.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, I like her. Like, I like some of her stuff. I'm not, like, I would never really, I wouldn't spend money to go see her live. But, I mean, okay. She's not the, you know, I mean, I've never really, she's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
So to speak. But, like, I'm hearing all these lingos, and I had to ask a coworker.
Okay.
She's a diehard fan.
Well, talk about cheaters. We got the number one cheater on the line right now. K-Dog, take it away.
Oh, man. Oh, brother.
Why, hello there, darling.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing tonight? I know it's a late night on Monday. I'm just laughing at you guys talking about all that cheetah. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we have to throw in an extra title for you, Mr. K-Dog, as you are the godfather. Congratulations.
The godfather. Hey, thanks, man, and I'm glad to do it. Oh, boy. Well, you know, the thing is about the whole Beyonce video, I'll get to that in a second, but also, beginning, I just want to get back to Prince for a little bit as an artist, who Prince was. When I know about Prince, Prince is a musician, a producer, and on top of that, he was a songwriter. This man lived in the studio constantly. I mean, everything that he did was just phenomenal. I mean, personally for me, growing up as a kid, I could remember when Purple Rain first came out and when Doves Cry was hitting the airwaves. I mean, people were going crazy. They were going nuts for this artist who was doing everything that he could just to bring you good music. And, you know, the most iconic thing about Purple Rain was that it was a cheaply made film. It was $7 million that was made.
Mm-hmm.
And with that soundtrack, and the Purple Rain soundtrack sold more than 13 million copies in the U.S. and spent 24 consecutive weeks at number one on the Billboard 200. And it even earned him an Academy Award for Best Original Song Score. And with that, the movie grossed over $68 million in the U.S. because, let's see, the songs from the film. You talk about When Doves Cry, Let's Go Crazy, I Would Die for You, and the title track for the movie, Purple Rain.
Did you actually watch the movie, or did you just listen to the soundtrack?
No, I saw the movie.
The movie was horrible, by the way, first of all.
I never saw the movie, so I don't know.
Oh, you're not missing anything.
Yeah.
I've
seen the movie when it got on
movie.
Cable, yeah.
Oh, my
you know
God. Would you recommend the movie to somebody?
Well, the movie is not bad. I'm going to tell you why. It was like watching a movie. It was watching a music video.
The movie was kind of autobiographical. It was pretty much based about his life growing up.
Yeah, and it was that real. See,
okay. Prince and Beyonce. We're talking about two different artists right now. One
right.
has passed away, one that has done a music video. Two different type of fan base. Who's really a true artist? Prince or right now Beyonce with the Beehives? You know Beyonce
To be honest, I'll pick Prince over Beyonce. Listen, Beyonce, I'm not going to take away from her. She is talented. She's a great show.
Is Beyonce really talented or she's marketable?
This is the thing. Beyonce is talented because if you look at her stage presence, she does it all on stage. She doesn't leave anything unhinged. She doesn't hide anything. But with Prince, not only did he have a strong stage presence, but also, again, you know, she's just, now back to Beyonce, I could just say she's a talented performer. Anybody who's been to a Beyonce concert or have watched her perform at a show, you get your money's worth. You'll get everything. She'll put it all out there for you. But, however, with Prince, not only was he a great performer, but he gave you his all on stage because here's one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time. He would put the guitar down and switch over to the piano. He would stop playing the piano and head to the drums. He would sing, do everything on stage for you.
Okay, you didn't mention all of that. Can Beyonce do any of that? She's a great performer, but is she talented to do any of those things at all? Has she ever lifted an instrument besides the mic?
No, she hasn't. But
she plays the piano.
But allow me to say this. You know, it's not just her voice, but it's her overall performance. You understand? It's just her overall performance. I'm sure many of you understand what I'm saying about Beyonce.
You can't, but you're comparing two completely different genres of music.
And that's why I'm not comparing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not comparing because you know what? There's no comparison between Prince and Beyonce.
And it's also
Prince
not fair
own,
to compare the two either,
not,
I don't think.
No,
it's not.
Two different,
you
it's
know
two
what?
Different decades, two different
I'll
types
you,
of
I'll
music.
I'll tell you something.
Don't,
Let me
don't,
add
don't,
this
don't,
too.
Some of the crazy fans out there right now.
No,
people
are doing all these comparisons. I don't understand why. There is no comparison between Prince and Beyonce. And Prince admired Beyonce. He did shout out Beyonce. As a matter of fact, he even came on stage with Beyonce. You know, let's just think about it. Prince was an amazing performer, but also an amazing songwriter. And a producer, that sets them apart. So there can't be a comparison between Prince and Beyonce.
Yeah. And it's also, you have to also look at the audiences also. I look at it like this.
Right.
Beyonce, in her position, has more of a responsibility to her fans from this standpoint.
Exactly.
Over the last 10 years since Destiny's Child has split apart and she's become this solo artist that is worldwide, her responsibility has been to all of those female fans who she has been trying to get to empower through the whole girl power movement and trying
exactly.
to get people, those people that were with her 10 years ago, you figure they were probably 13, 14 years old.
Younger,
those women
sometimes.
Are going to grow up. They're going to grow up, and they're now 10 years
with
older,
her.
So they're like in their 20s. And they're going through
okay.
relationship issues and things like that because of how Beyonce is marketed and the songwriting that she has that she gears with messages of sticking through hard relationships,
so,
going
yeah.
through pain, cheating, etc. That's more of an authentic responsibility as opposed to Prince, who his only responsibility was to make sure that his music was revolutionary and it was true to himself and also true
exactly.
to the fans. So I think you're looking at it from a different perspective. I think Prince, in the era that he was in from the late 70s to the 80s and 90s, his idea was more toward a lot of rock fans, a lot of those hardcore
Funk.
Prince fans that love his music. Beyonce is coming at it from a pop era, but also at the same time from a self-awareness era and an evolutionary era. From what she did at the Super Bowl with the Black Lives Matter,
right.
fist in the air Afro thing,
yeah.
and then with this lemonade deal
Of the Black Panthers,
exactly. And then from the whole lemonade deal, which we hear she addressed her relationship with her mother, relationship with her father, who was her manager at one point, that they decided she didn't want him as his manager anymore. Going back to when she was a teenager and her, you know, teaching her how to ride a bike, to a relationship with her current husband, the fact that they almost, it sounded like they were divorcing, and then at the end of the show, or at the end of the one-hour video, that was the reconciliation, where they looked
yeah.
like they had gotten through all of the peaks and valleys, and they're together now. So that is the difference between Prince and his audience, which is transcendent as well. But Beyonce is just as transcendent, because if you see her concerts when she's out in Europe or she's out in Spain or Italy or somewhere else, wherever she's doing a concert, all of the girls, the females that listen and cry and pass out just listening to her, it's just about the same as when you would see Prince do a concert or when Michael
yeah.
Jackson used to do a concert. How the fans would just pass out just to listen to that person. And those
well,
are the kinds of things you see.
She was the epitome. Well, she is the epitome of woman power.
Exactly.
But the big difference between the two is, which is why I don't really understand how people can even compare the two, is Prince was all about sex. Drug, getting high, and having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
all his performances were very sexual, very raw.
Mm-hmm.
Early
he
on.
Was very, very, very vague about his own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the fact that people didn't know if he was straight or gay. He wrote on it. He loved it.
Mm-hmm.
People used to ask him in interviews. We saw the flyby interviews when we were teenagers. He never answered them. He friggin' loved it. They were all raw. He used to strip on stage.
Yeah.
You know
his
what?
Women used to crawl all over him. He literally put a girl on one of his girls on all fours on stage. His stage present was not PG-13. Like, you would not take your child to go see Prince.
Nope. Back in the day.
Back
yeah.
then. Okay,
this
but that's the difference. Beyonce appears to all audiences. You could take your kid to go see Beyonce. You can go there for an adult evening. You can go there with your family. You couldn't do that with Prince because he wasn't trying to aim towards that. Prince is funk and rock and roll. He wasn't about sending any kind of message. He was just about the music.
And just
and what
remember
he
something
was in the
else.
Mood to do. And mostly was to have sex and get high.
Well, this is the other thing that I have to point out about Prince. Let's not forget, Prince also wrote for other artists. You have to remember
well, so
that
Beyonce.
Too.
Beyonce is a songwriter. You do know that.
Yes.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. One is not more talented than the other. They're just very different individuals.
They're very different.
But
okay.
I can't say one is more talented than the other.
Yeah, but I'm not going to compare Beyonce to Prince. There's no comparison, hon.
One is not more talented than the other. They're totally two different type of artists.
Because, you know, Prince's music transcends from different eras of music. You got to remember something. When he first came on the scene, he was very funky. And then he would transcend into pop. He would transcend into funk. You know, he blended all of those. He was like how Miles Davis called it was that he was like the Duke Ellington of the new generation.
I disagree with that. I don't think he was anything near Duke Ellington.
No, he wasn't. No, I'm not saying that. That's what Miles Davis said.
And the thing about Beyonce,
I have to say this. People wrote songs for Beyonce. Beyonce is not a songwriter. I'm sorry.
She wrote half her albums.
She didn't because other people write for her because even Neo had wrote a song for her.
I'm not saying other people didn't write for her, but she has written her own stuff.
But she hasn't. I'm just being honest.
I'm not saying she hasn't. She hasn't sought other people out to work with her, but she has written her own material. Not everything she sings is hers, and I think this is the fundamental argument that's the problem with comparing eras of different artists. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, the only thing that Beyonce did, Beyonce wrote her own album, but she doesn't write for others the way Prince did, because Prince, the songs that he wrote became big time hits for other artists. I could say from Chaka Khan, anybody who could remember that song, I Feel For You, Chaka Khan, that was Prince that wrote that. Manic Monday. I ain't singing, but Manic Monday, Prince wrote that. I could say Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
I'm not disputing he wasn't a talented man. I just don't see the point of comparing two people who have absolutely nothing to do with the other.
No, I know that, but I'm not comparing him to Beyonce because, you see, Beyonce only wrote songs for her own album. And the thing is, different eras. These are different era of artists. Go ahead.
Anisha, do you believe in Beyonce woman empowerment, since you're a woman yourself?
I love what she's doing. I think it's fabulous. I love the fact that she's all about empowering anyone who wants to step up and do something with themselves. I love the message she sends.
I also give her credit for actually putting a lot of herself in the music, too.
Oh, please, this album and most of her music is all marketing. We don't know the whole story about Jay-Z and Beyonce anyway. Sean and I said, is a marketing genius. But if I would give her all the credit in the world, not really. Because, like, I think what Kayla's trying to say, Prince looked out for other people and he took care of other people. Beyonce take care of Beyonce. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
When the last time you hear Beyonce done something for the public, she had her followers. You are nobody without your fans. Even after his death, Prince people gave out to the fans gift baskets. After the guy is dead, he's still taking care of people.
I know.
That's how I heard that. That's how you show appreciation. You know.
Yeah.
That's why I give Prince credit. Beyonce, I'm not being a hater. Make all the money you want. Make all the music you want. But don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who you are. So think about it.
It wasn't that long ago that people were criticizing Beyonce for the way her career got started from the whole whole Destiny's Child thing, where we know that there were four in the group and then there were three in the group.
Three?
And then we all knew that the whole premise, the whole purpose of Destiny's Child was to get Beyonce out front and center. And then when they were ready for her debut album, shed the rest of them like old snake skin.
And remember, it was Wyclef Jean of the Fugees that discovered Destiny Child when he was young.
Yeah, he wrote their first hit, No, No, No. That was the song.
He got pushed to the side. Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm not a big fan of Beyonce. I'm sorry, Beehive and the fans. She's overrated. That's the bottom line. Okay. Anything else about Beyonce and Prince? You guys need to get off your chest on?
Well,
I couldn't care less.
I think we've kind of probably all said what we were going to say about Beyonce.
Okay.
Well, all I got to
say
to Prince is that music lost a great legend.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Okay, on to a little bit of baseball / bathroom situation. Sean's favorite baseball analysis, Curt Schilling, got fired from ESPN last week. Why did he got fired, Sean?
Why do we care?
He basically got fired for using his First Amendment right of freedom of speech. But when you work for a company such as ESPN, you have to abide by their version of what free speech is, and you have to acquiesce to that. He didn't do that. Now, for those that don't understand what's going on, I'll make it short and sweet. We all know that in North Carolina, as we spoke about last time, that they recently passed a bill that is called the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, or House Bill 2, as it's known in the government vernacular, which is basically stating that transgender people using the bathroom have to be going to the bathroom in accordance to the gender that they are identified with on their birth certificate and not what they are associated with and how they feel or what they represent afterwards. And the problem with that is lots of businesses, I've gone through this before, lots of businesses are trying to get away from it because it's discriminatory. Now, Curt Schilling actually put a meme, or he didn't put the meme. He found, there was a meme that was passed around on Facebook that he got, and he kind of just left it on his page and forwarded it around. And it pretty much ticked everybody else off. It was a picture of a transgender man in what looked like a ripped-up shirt with the what would be the breasts sticking out. And it had a caption that said, "Let him in to the restroom with your daughter, or else you're a narrow-minded, judgmental, unloving, racist bigot who needs to die." That was the meme that was there. The issue is he put a comment right next to it, under it, and passed it along. It stated, quote, "A man is a man no matter what they call themselves. I don't care what they are or who they sleep with. Men's room was designed for the penis. Women's, not so much. Now you need laws telling us different. Pathetic." Now, ESPN.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, to Anitra, what do you think about that? A bathroom, a male, man with a penis, men bathroom. Woman with a vagina, woman's bathroom. Why do we need a law now for this?
Okay, Ron, you got to speak a little closer.
I'm in the bathroom, okay? What do you expect?
Bend over like you know him, like you, we all know you know how to do.
Uh-oh.
And grab that mic like we know you know how to do.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Uh-huh, go ahead. Continue.
And lo and behold, it works.
Oh, man.
Told you. No, honestly, it doesn't bother me either way. I couldn't care less. If you identify yourself as a woman and you are more comfortable going into a woman's restroom, it doesn't bother me. Just as long as you're not a sick asshole and you are a normal individual, just wants to do your business and get the hell out.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less.
Of course he was.
Well, yes and no, because people who are still very much afraid of this reality that we're in right now, and they refuse to actually educate themselves about it. They're still stuck on the mentality of 20, 30 years ago, and they refuse to properly educate themselves, which to me is sad. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay.
And I have news for a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
If you've been in a men's room or a woman's room, I will guarantee you, you've been to the bathroom with somebody that has actually been transgendered and you probably never knew it.
Exactly.
So that's the issue.
Listen,
Listen, but, I went home one time, really bad. And I went into the men's bathroom. They got over it.
Listen, this is the thing.
Well,
this is the thing. This is
more than just for different reasons.
Oh, boy.
Well, excuse me, guys, for interrupting, but I just want to bring this out. It's like this. It's more of an issue for people with children. You know how you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, when it's, well, as parents, right? Hot Rod, you're a parent, right?
Yes.
Now
no,
you shouldn't have to explain.
Yes.
Now you shouldn't have to explain kids. You know, you shouldn't have to explain these kind of things to the kids earlier. Just wait until you feel that they're ready, and you know if they pass this law anywhere else, then all places should be mandated to have a family restroom. What do you think about that?
True. It's just, I don't care about. We all know about the transgender thing. It is,
right. I mean,
do I feel comfortable of a man that you know is a man wearing a bra and panties walk to the man's bathroom? I'm not comfortable with that. If you come up and everything, go ahead. Go to a woman's bathroom. If you dress like a woman or dress like a guy, handle your business. When you're out,
right.
When you be flamboyant and you're out there showing your panties and everything, and I have my daughter with me, I can't explain that to her. Like, Daddy, why is he wearing a woman's panties? Let me go talk to Anitra.
That's the problem
a lot of people have right now.
We live in this world of fear where everybody is afraid that and the first thing that everybody brings up, what about the children?
Because they're afraid of conversations.
Exactly. 99% of the time, the children aren't knowing anything anyway. If they're going to the stall or they're going to use the bathroom, they're there. If somebody that walks in that's transgendered or transsexual or is anybody that is...
I mean, should it matter?
It's not going to matter. But as I said before,
it's
everybody
not.
Uses that same line. What about the children? What about the children? And
to
there
me,
are there is that small, minute percentage that you're going to get that creep that's going to walk in that's either a deviant or somebody that's trying to molest somebody. That's irregardless of whether somebody is gay, transgendered, or not.
Exactly.
So
that's why
that's
I don't see
problem.
What the big deal is why people say that. Oh, what about the kids? What about the kids? You're Rodney. You're walking with your son, okay? And he sees a dude grab his chick's ass, and I mean grab it because they're, let's say, making out of the bus stop, and they're just going at it in public. Your son's going to have 20 questions about that. Why is
that's
he touching her like that?
That?
Why
that's
are they acting
doing?
Like
yeah.
that? What's going on with that? Kids are going to have questions.
I would have more exception if the kids saw something on a soap opera than you see around
exactly.
in the bathroom.
But
because
that's the thing.
Look
like,
at it this way.
To me, it's ridiculous on why people are using children as an excuse. It's an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but
mm-hmm.
my kid is too young. What's too young?
You,
no
well,
one can
you
define
what
too young
the,
is.
That's
is ridiculous.
This is my take on it. This is my take on it. It's up to the parents to let their children know about things like this. It's up.
Then lock them in a closet.
Listen, it's up to the parents. Why I say it's up to the parents, some parents will explain it to the child young, and some parents will explain to the child when they feel that it's the right time to do so. That's the whole thing about that whole situation.
Yeah, but
and
see, the problem
also,
with that is that if you wait too long, then the child will begin to believe propaganda and the crap they hear on the street.
Well, guess
which
what?
Nine times out of ten is what creates all the racism we have
well,
and the hatred
what?
And the bigotry. That's how that
this
all
is,
gets created.
This is the thing. But also something else too I want to point out. The two things that I always say that are the biggest extremes in this world, religion and politics.
That's
a major
more,
role in
I,
all of
that,
this.
That is more of the issue in general. Because everything that we've talked about when it comes to anything that goes that as far as laws being passed or anything
yeah.
like that, the guise is always under religion
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and money. And that's usually
yes,
what
is.
Determines what laws get passed, what gets enforced, and the reasoning behind it. And that's
exactly.
where a lot of the fear-mongering and all the other stuff has happened. Look,
we have
transitioned in the last few years forward We're not the same nation that we were 10 years ago.
Nope.
15, 20
not even
years
5 years ago.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And we
it's changing.
There's a resistance to change and a resistance to evolution. And it would be silly to think 100 years from now that society, if society is around by then, that society would be the same today than it would be in 2116. We know things would change. Different laws would happen. Different ideals for different things will change. And you have to be able to adapt to what's going on and then teach people that are either ignorant or scared or just don't know about certain things and dispel a lot of things that are going on without the fear-mongering that happens a lot of times. And if you think about it, a lot of the things that you see happening when it comes to these arguments of who's saying what are mostly coming from politicians.
Exactly.
You're not hearing a lot of it from, like, an activist or somebody like that.
Nope.
You're hearing them from mostly politicians and people
and
that are in
leaders.
Churches and things of that nature when it comes to religious background. Now, you can have your own opinion religiously about anything. There's nothing wrong with that.
You have the freedom to do so.
Exactly. But the issue is when you use religion as an excuse to hate in general,
that's the problem
becomes. And those are the type of people that are in government that are walking around passing laws that hurt people in general.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
And that's the reason why you see these laws being passed now that are going on with the bill in North Carolina, the one that passed in Indiana, the one that happened that's been going on in Georgia. All of these laws that are happening in very religious Christian backgrounds that you hear about, these are the kinds of things that are popping up in certain pockets of the country. And it starts to get slowly these small little ideals, and then the next thing you know, it's going to be a big law. The next thing you know, it's going to be a bigger law. Pretty soon it'll be full-blown discrimination under the guise of government, and that's part of the issue.
And, especially with televangelists and all these politicians talking out of their mouths, that's a real thing.
Oh, okay. Are you guys done? Are you guys done preaching right now?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But okay, so Sean Black, I know last week you were crying that your boy Bernie Sanders lost the New York election. How do you feel about that?
Oh man.
Well,
you woke up 6 o'clock in the morning to go out and vote for your boy Bernie Sanders last week in the primary race.
I got up early in the morning because I figured I might as well vote now before all the people come out. And lo and behold, the people didn't come out. So that's pretty much what it was. This is what I think. And I think that the trust factor in the minds of most people is, especially in the Democratic side, is the fact that everybody is voting now for Hillary Clinton. And she has the pedigree of being the senator of New York. She has the pedigree of being first lady in the past, so people are going to vote more for that than anything else. And I think that's what it boils down to. And I really don't think that Bernie Sanders has a chance to win this election at all. He brings a lot of ideals and a lot of things to the table, but I just think in the long run, we're looking at a Trump versus Clinton ticket.
And
that's
I also
where
don't believe that people actually believe that he would beat Trump. Like, people actually see Clinton beating Trump.
And I think that's where the voting went.
And another thing, too, with Bernie Sanders, I mean, his views, okay, he wants to try to appeal to a certain mass of voters, but those mass of voters that he's trying to appeal to are not going to listen to him because they've already heard Hillary. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. But it's not it also wasn't a foregone conclusion that Hillary Clinton was going to get in there. See, a year ago when we had this discussion, everybody was under the mindset that Hillary was going to win.
Yeah.
And now we see all of the things going on, and it's like, you know, it's not really all that foregone a conclusion because, in general, a lot of people just don't trust Hillary Clinton. And that's been kind of made something that's been brought up more often.
Oh, yeah. It's coming out now more than ever. But still, Hillary is going to win the nomination. That's my opinion.
And then, well, I'm sure Anisha's happy about that. As for me, Bernie Sanders have a lot of great ideas for the young people. But let's be honest, this is America. Nothing is for free. You can't get free education. You can't get free health care. There's always a price for something. Free education, who will pay for it? The rich people or the middle class hardworking people?
His thought process
has some great ideas, but it's not going to work out, especially with the Congress. We say this last week. Congress got the real power, and they too busy fighting each other every day. So nothing gets done anyway.
Yeah,
so
but
then,
you know what?
Speaking
of Congress fighting each other, you know what's been going on recently with the Republicans in Congress? They're trying to fight off Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Well, that's been since day one.
Yeah, and now the fighting is more intense than ever.
And it sounds
pathetic.
They have
no middle ground, so it is what it is.
Kasich and Cruz are almost conspiring to make sure that they help each other not get Trump the nomination. It smacks of desperation, but it also goes to show you this is what happens when you let the rhetoric win. Because now there is a realistic possibility that Donald Trump is going to take the ticket, and you're going to see from June on until November, it's going to be comedian's joy, because the jokes that are going to come out of this are going to be absolutely tremendous.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Hold on. We got to do final thoughts. So, Peter, what is your final thought?
Final thoughts of the night. Well, all I got to say is that Prince will be remembered as a music legend. And like I said, music has lost a great, great, great artist. And as for this whole thing with transgender and bathrooms, I mean, come on, people. It's 2016. Get with the program. Put all hatred and bigotry aside, because it's just stupid. Whatever, people are going to be whatever they will be. They're born that way. Leave it alone and vote 2016. Vote the
Anitra
vote B. Who you want to vote for.
Anitra?
All I have to say is, you know that beautiful song that they go, what does that say? What's the name of that song? Oh, God. Who run the world? Girls. Who run the world? Girls.
That is the final thought of all final thoughts.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we got 2 minutes now. What's your final thought?
Final thought is, as everybody just stated before, the world is changing. So you have to adapt to what's going on in the world. And I think that we are getting to a point now where I think we can say that evolution is starting to win out. It may take some more time, but in general, evolution is completely winning out all over this world, all over the country, and hopefully that'll translate into the elections and getting a lot of things cleaned up.
Okay, thanks so much. And this is my final thought. Okay. I just followed it. And, Sean,
So predictable.
Do you think the Golden State Warriors could advance to the next round without Stephen Curry?
Well, based on the fact that he's going to be out for a minimum of 2 weeks, I can – the Rockets, they're done. That's not an issue. But there's a good possibility they'll be playing the Clippers. If Stephen Curry doesn't play, there's still a good enough team – to beat the Clippers, in my opinion. I think they can.
All right. Okay. All right, guys. Anitra B, Sean Black, K-Dog. Once again, guys, thank you so much for a good show. Can't wait to do this again next time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio with the host, with the most,
peace.
The King of King himself, the High Rod. Good night, everyone, and peace, love, and happiness.
And the pleasure
and
was all yours.
Always,
all yours.
Exactly.
The pleasure is all yours.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, y'all.